The defensive coordinator search is over, and the Vikings got their man, Brian Flores, Vikings DC, and it changes everything. Welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast.
You like it on 3-1-2-3?
You like it!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. You can find this show wherever you find your favorite podcasts, including Amazon Fire or Roku. Just download the Locked On Minnesota Sports app. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. And this episode of Locked On Vikings is brought to you by Nissan. The only thing more excited than the big game is the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. It's time. It's Brian Flores time, baby. After a, we'll go with a harrowing defensive coordinator search. If you were unplugged for the last like 2 weeks, then you missed out on a lot of anguish that you didn't really need to feel. And if you felt a lot of anguish, I hope you learned to wait a couple weeks. Because the Vikings got what I'm going to say was their second choice all along. They wanted Ejiro Evero. He signed with the Panthers before he even came in with an interview. It sounded like he was their number one. Brian Flores was their number two. But Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was hanging on Brian Flores. They were like white on rice together at the Senior Bowl. They were together on the field, off the field. They were together a lot. Ross Jackson and Lauren Cox were both there. They're Locked On Saints, Locked On Bears. They were both at the Senior Bowl observing this. I think that was more of a schmooze. I don't know if that was the hire has happened and they just haven't announced it. I think it was more of a kind of a full court press. And if you read into like the way it was reported too, you could kind of tell that every time Ian Rappaport would report something that was like bad news for the Vikings, like when he reported that Evero was going to the Panthers or that Sean Desai had pulled out or whatever, he made a point to say, and by the way, Brian Flores is still a strong candidate, which feels like a full court press from, hey, rap sheet, can you make sure to let Brian know that he's really wanted? And the Vikings wanted him bad, and they got him. He will sign and be DC with the Vikings. He also pulls out of a head coaching search. He was a finalist for the head coaching job in Arizona, so Locked On Cards might be interesting today. Usually we would do Twitter Tuesday today, but obviously this is huge news. We'll do Twitter Wednesday tomorrow. I'll do the same mailbag. Thank you all for your questions. But we're going to talk about Brian Flores today. Brian Flores comes with a different defense than the Donatelle Fangio thing. We can pack that all up and put it away. The Vikings are no longer in a Fangio structure. They are still in kind of a 3-4, but the comparison between what they ran in 2022 and what they'll run next year is a lot further away than the comparison between what they'll run next year and what they ran with Zimmer. This is way closer to the Zimmer thing, and Brian Flores runs it Belichick style, which is a little different than how Zimmer ran it, but it's the same family, the same structure. You're going to have a lot of the same terms and a lot of the same kind of flow charts and like techniques and things that you teach. It's not the Zimmer defense. Zimmer's was a lot closer to Saban's, and this is the Belichick version of it, and there are differences. But really, the way Flores calls it is completely insane. He is a psycho, and if you wanted the Vikings to be more aggressive, oh boy, are we on the other side of that spectrum. That's going to be the identity of the Vikings defense now. They're going to blitz, 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 blitz. There's a famous game, a great Brett Coleman video on a Thursday night game, 2020 Dolphins, who were 3-7. I think that was their third win of the year over a Ravens team that was in a playoff push. Huge upset. And they had the Ravens running in circles. And honestly, I don't know if the Ravens have ever recovered from, like, schematically from what the Dolphins exposed in that game. And they did it by running the same blitz 35 times in one game. This is what we have now. We are that completely unhinged. It's a bath salts defense now. And that sounds really fun. Now, of course, it could go really bad, right? You blitz, that's risky. And sometimes your blitz is going to get cooked over the top. You're going to give up long touchdowns and stuff. And I do think unless the Vikings absolutely nail some stuff on quarterback on cornerbacks, they are totally going to give up a bunch of points. And statistically, I don't know how good this defense is going to be able to get. However, that is a direction that I can see. A, when you have all those like personnel problems, they get papered over by the blitz a lot because you don't necessarily, like, if you're not comfortable with the scheme, if you're a rookie and you don't know the coverage calls very well, okay, see a quarterback, get quarterback once you've like know your gap and you just go attack it. That's a little easier and it can paper over personnel issues to a point. And also you can totally bust a coverage on the back end, but if your blitz gets home, it didn't matter, right? So you can kind of make up for some of that stuff. But again, you're doing it in such a risky way where if the other team is good enough at beating your blitzes, you will get smoked. So there's your kind of ups and downs of the Brian Flores defense. But what it does is it moves you back into a structure that guys like Eric Kendricks and Harrison Smith are a lot more familiar with. The blitzes, and I will go over in more detail how those pressures are structured in this system, but they are a lot easier to execute, but they get Harrison Smith involved a lot more. One of the most frustrating things about the Vikings defense in 2022 for me was how little Harrison Smith blitzed. It's one of his best skills and the Vikings didn't really use it. So that we're going to, again, all the way to the other side of the spectrum there. And that's the world that we're going to live in. It's going to be a world of risk reward. And if you don't have the personnel to run something super complex, like 2017 Vikings, right, where they had the personnel to run something with enough complexity and flexibility to kind of lose to nothing. And that's why that defense was so good. But we don't have the dudes for that. It's been a long time. There's only like three people left from that whole team. Or I think I looked at six people left from that entire team. And one of them's Dalvin Cook, who didn't play that year for most of that year. And one of them's like Adam Thielen, right? But defense is obviously really struggling in the secondary. They're hurting, right? And this can maybe paper over some of that stuff and just, okay, we'll just live in a YOLO world until we have the guys to do something a little bit more sound and flexible and resilient. And that is the cover one stuff of Brian Flores. So the first thing you got to know is a big blitz guy, cover zero, no deep defenders, people coming at you. Also a big cover one guy where you have one deep defender, man coverage across the board, and usually a guy lurking in the middle or a rat is the word that a lot of people use for it. That comprises a big part of the defense. It's very simple, which means there's not a lot of places to hide if your corners are bad. So corner is, if you didn't think corner was a priority before, it's a priority. They are going to have to spend a lot of resources on corner for whatever they can make. Now, we've been going on the show a lot about what they can make cap space wise. Cornerback early, cornerback often in the draft. I would be surprised if they came away with less than two, be they, whether it's a first round pick or it's like a third and a fourth or something like that. I think that they will be investing heavily in defensive back. And that would include possibly like Duke Shelley and Patrick Peterson, who are pending free agents. So I want to go over the pressures, and then I want to go over some of the coverage stuff. I am pulling a lot from the Make Defense Great Again podcast with Coach Fass and a PowerPoint kind of thing he did on, or I guess it's a clinic that he did on YouTube that is very, very informative. And I'll tell you how that stuff works. And as we go, I'll talk about kind of where players might fit into that. Before I get into that, though, let me talk to you about Daily Fantasy, and in particular, Daily Fantasy in a way that's actually fun to play. DFS is not the most fun when you have to put together a whole team, when really it's like, especially for like the Super Bowl, when it's like, okay, I only have two quarterbacks to pick from, right? How am I supposed to separate myself? And also, you have to enter a pool of 100,000 people and get first place, and it's like, well, how in the world are you going to do that? How about just you versus the house projections? If you think Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl is going to get more than or less than 325 yards or whatever it is, string 2 to 6 of those together, and you can get up to 25 times your money if you nail it. That is at prizepicks.com or on the Prize Picks app. And right now, Locked On Vikings listeners can get a 100% match up to $100. That means if you put in $100, you get $100 slapped right on top of it into your account. Put in 50, get 50, and so on. At prizepicks.com or on the Prize Picks app by using the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON on the Prize Picks app or at prizepicks.com. Moving on with this Brian Flores episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast. So I think you have to know, to understand Brian Flores, you have to know how his pressures work. And this is just the system of play calling, right? So this is, there's nothing evaluative here at all. This is just, okay, this is how it gets called, right? You can divide his pressures. This is five-man pressure. So this is 5-0 stuff. A lot of times this comes from dime packages, and the Flores system does like to switch up a lot of personnel packages. If you think about like the Patriots in 2018, they won the Super Bowl, where they would have, you know, Daron Harmon. I think he was there that year. You know, they would have Patrick Chung. They would have Devin McCourty. They would have all of these defensive backs, and a lot of them would rotate in and out, come in and out. Sometimes they would only have three down linemen, one linebacker, and seven D backs, right? And it would be like a 3-1-7 thing. They would really mess with a lot of those personnel packages, which means guys like Cam Bynum or Lewis Cine, you know, there's a place for both of these guys on the defense, even with Harrison Smith, and they will compete for the bigger role, but the loser still gets a role. Guys like Josh Metellus, guys even like Andrew Booth, even if he's still not ready to start, or a Caleb Evans, will all have roles on this. There are times when the Patriots with Brian Flores calling plays would have four corners on the field, two safeties, and that would be, and they would have like a dime package like that. That's unique, but it means that that corner depth is going to be extra important as well. So again, putting a lot of stress on that position, and it's going to be, they're going to get, they have to get really aggressive about it in the offseason. We're going to have a lot of new corners to talk about, I think. So let me talk to you though first about the pressures. So imagine a five down front, or you might call it a five-man surface. Five defensive linemen, call it, you know, Harrison Phillips, Dalvin Tomlinson, Za'Darius Smith, Danielle Hunter, and, I don't know, Kyrese Tonga. Those five guys all down on the line of scrimmage. Now, when you are an offensive line, and assume you don't have a tight end or a running back in the protection, if you are the offensive line, you see five guys, you have five blockers, you will almost always have to call a 5-0 protection, which is just man protection across the board. You block that guy, you block that guy, you block that guy. No walling, no helping each other, no fancy stuff. There's too many guys. We all just have to take a dude and win our matchup, right? Brian Flores will spend half the game in a five-man pass rush setting with five men down, and sometimes it'll be sim pressure, and you know, sometimes you're faking it and a guy will drop off, but you don't know who's going to drop off. That is going to be similar. You might see Harrison Phillips in coverage sometimes just to screw with the center, right? It'll be weird, but it'll be one of those deceptive things. But you're never going to do that and then rush four. And that was something the Vikings did that I thought was really dumb, that they would rush four and they would have a defensive lineman in coverage. And even if they would do a little stunt or a game or something, a lot of times that wasn't enough. And then the quarterback could sit there, find the D lineman and throw to the flat against him, and you'd get an explosive play. This is always accompanied with something that is supposed to get someone unblocked. And protections, offensive line protections, want complexity. As long as they aren't going to get confused with each other, they want to be able to have as many checks and adjustments and things that they can do on the fly as possible to be able to deal with as many scenarios as possible. So by threatening five all the time, you force 5-0 protection all the time, you force them to simplify more than they want to. And that's a big part of the philosophy of Brian Flores. But to do that, you have to send guys all the time. You cannot have a games where you blitz nine times. You have to blitz half the time. You just have to be that team. So here's how it is divided up. There are two-man inside pressures, two-man outside pressures, and three-man pressures. So if you imagine five people, there are basically twists with the like two tackles that twist with each other, and that will go hot-cold. And hot is one way and cold is the other way. That's all you really need to understand. If you want more of that detail and tape and stuff, watch the Coach Vass thing. Two-man outside will be like the three-tech and the five-tech, the Danielle Hunter and the Dalvin Tomlinson, or whoever plays that if Dalvin Tomlinson leaves. But those guys will exchange with each other. So you'll have Dalvin Tomlinson crashing into the tackle and Danielle Hunter looping behind him or otherwise. And then there's three-man ones, which are, you know, two guys will move a gap over and then somebody will loop around them. And you're essentially trying to shift the line, force a protection slider in adjustment or something. And then that will create a big gap and somebody can go right into it. But for those, especially for the three-man ones, that the looper, the person who's going, you know, across three gaps in pass rushing has to be fast. And this is another thing that I don't think the Vikings did very well with their pressures. A lot of times that would be Za'Darius Smith. He's a good pass rusher, but he is not like a particularly fast runner, especially not with the knee thing. So having him be the looper was always too slow. When it's the Patriots or the Dolphins, it's a safe, it's Minka Fitzpatrick. Like, screw it. Let's put a safety up on the center. That'll confuse him, and then we're going to do some weird loop stuff with that. But that guy's fast enough to get all the way around, so we're going to do it that way. That is the ultimate goal of this. And what I want to see from the Flores defense is faster pressures. I want to see more pressure at the quarterback more quickly, especially if you're trying to get an unblocked pressure. Way too often in the 2022 Vikings, there would be an unblocked pressure. You got there. They did not get to you, but you spent so much time stunting and looping that the ball was out before you got there. You didn't have to beat a blocker and you still were late. That means the pressure is bad. That's poorly designed. And these are a little simpler and hopefully will leverage speedier players, which is why, again, you want a bunch of D-backs on the field. So you can use some of those in the pass rush situation, and with any luck, they're unblocked, so they don't have to beat an offensive lineman and deal with that mismatch. So D-back early, D-back often. Whether it's safety, corner, I don't care, bring him in. You can suggest whoever, and I'll be like, yes, Mike Hughes, I don't care. Bring me bodies. If he has a pulse, I want him. If you want more detail, again, go watch the Coach Vass thing for which fronts are which. I didn't go into the actual names of the fronts at all, but another big principle is that everybody has to know every position. So if you're the nose tech, you're Harrison Phillips, you have to know what edges are going to do, because sometimes you will be lining up as the five tech and then looping inside and attacking the center. And you have to know what that is, right? So that sort of versatility, everybody has to know every job and be able to execute every job. Even if you're the safety, you have to know the D-line jobs. That was a big Zimmer thing too. So we are going to go back to a lot of those principles that we were here for 8 years. Hope you weren't too sick of them. I also want to talk to you about the coverages. I already did a little bit, but before I get into that, let me tell you about the best tasting protein bar on the planet. It is still resolution season for some of us, all right? I'm going strong on some of my stuff. I hope you are too. And if you're having trouble staving off those chocolatey cravings, you need something to scratch the itch without knocking you off the wagon, let me introduce you to Built Bar. It is absolutely delicious, covered in 100% chocolate, but like 17 grams of protein in one of these bad boys and like 130 calories. It is an absolutely doable midnight snack. And you can now go to Sam's Club or Walmart and get them instead of having to order them online and wait. You can get them instantly right now. Just get in your car, go down to your nearest Sam's Club or Walmart and grab yourself a box of Built. They come in amazing flavors like churro or peanut butter brownies, stuff that you absolutely do not think should be a protein bar. And nothing in your brain is triggering that this is like a chalky protein bar or whatever. It's a candy bar, but you get to feel okay about it. There you go. Built.com. Feel okay about it. Welcome, everybody, to the world of Cover One. We now live in a Cover One system. Goodbye to quarters. Goodbye. Not goodbye. I'm sure there's going to be some of it mixed in everywhere. This is all just what the majority is. But this is the quarter half stuff, the soft zones, the landmark drop and read and react and look at the quarterback's eyes and get the linebacker widened out and then they throw up the middle on you. All of that stuff is a thing of the past. Now it's man match again. So there's going to be a set of rules that tell you, I'll take that guy. However, a huge difference between the Brian Flores system and the one that Zimmer would run, the one Zimmer would run would not dictate matchups because there were a lot of complexities and it was designed to sort of have more contingencies and never have a guy be out of position. Zimmer wanted to, as much as possible, avoid asking somebody to win straight up when they didn't have the right leverage or they didn't have the right matchup or they were at some kind of disadvantage. You didn't want to have to survive a disadvantage. And so to guard against that, you had to add in layers and layers and layers of complexity, and it made it difficult for corners to learn that system. If you remember, like, Mackenzie Alexander took a couple years to come on, and Trey Waynes took a couple years to come on, because it was just, like, a lot of stuff to learn and get down. This is going to be a lot simpler, because they aren't in, like, cover seven quarter stuff. It is, you take that guy, you take that guy, you take that guy. And it's a lot more... Like, a lot of the coverages, there are ways for them to deal with, like, switch releases and stuff, but it's a lot more matchup dependent. So one of the weaknesses of Zimmer's defense was that they would play sides. You would have Xavier Rhodes on the left and Trey Waynes on the right, and that wouldn't change. So if you had a wide receiver you thought matched up really well with Trey Waynes, you could put that guy on the right all day. He would get Trey Waynes all day, and that would you would be able to get that if you wanted that matchup. And that was sort of one of the costs that the Vikings would get to essentially say, okay, but Trey Waynes will always have the right leverage or the right positioning, or he'll kind of, he'll have the high ground in a lot of those matchups. And so the defense would say, okay, we'll take that. We'll take our chances, right? Not so much with this. Now it's, if we have a corner we want to hide, we are going to play that matchup. You know, we're like the Patriots would have Patrick Chung is on your tight end. Wherever he lines up, he gets Patrick Chung. And we're just going to do that. And so they would do a lot more shadowing and a lot more matchup stuff. So for the Vikings, and I think maybe the scariest wide receiver in the division that's not on the Vikings is Amon-Ra St. Brown, I guess. They are going to have somebody in-house that can handle Amon-Ra St. Brown. However, they do have one double number, which is something I think the Vikings could have utilized more of last year. It's in every playbook, but it's Brian Flores loves to run it. Which is, again, cover one. You have one deep defender. You're going to have like a rat or maybe a blitz. If you're sending five, a kind of middle defender. And instead of that guy, you will have a double team. Or maybe instead of just a regular middle zone, you will tell a safety, okay, double that guy. You can do it different ways depending on what the blitz is and whatever. But essentially, it's man-to-man across the board. So let's say... the Vikings saw a whole bunch of it against the Giants in the playoff game. One double 18. So it's cover one, everybody man-to-man across the board, but 18 is doubled. And the safety is just follow 18 around. And whoever gets 18, you have safety help. And we'll do it man-to-man, and we'll do a vertical or a horizontal bracket depending on what route he runs, right? And so you just have two guys running with him all the time. That is going to be a really important tool for the Vikings, because I don't see it as very likely that they find a guy that can hang with someone like Amon-Ra St. Brown or someone like, they've got Deebo Samuel on the schedule. Somebody, you know, some of these better receivers, they've got the Eagles on the schedule with AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. That's going to be a little tougher to handle. And I don't think we're going to have the horses for it unless we absolutely slam dunk some draft picks, which is not likely. It's just, cornerbacks just don't develop that way very often. So we'd have to get really, really lucky, or we're going to have to do some one double number stuff to try to figure out who the best threat is and whether or not we want to divert that many resources towards that guy and leave everybody else in essentially one-on-ones. And there is your weakness. If you have a corner that has to be in one-on-one that can't get safety help because you're doubling somebody else and he can't hang, if you have a corner that can't hang with everybody's KJ Osborne, then KJ Osborne's going to go off. So wide receiver twos against the Vikings, if you want some fantasy advice, wide receiver twos against the Vikings might actually have some pretty good luck if the Vikings don't fix their corner situation really, 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 really more aggressively than would be feasible to expect. That's probably going to be a weakness of the Vikings. So there's some strengths and weaknesses and stuff. I'm really excited about the hire. I know I've kind of said some things that are good, some things that are bad. I'm trying to be balanced, but I'm really, really excited about the hire. Brian Flores was one of the only people outside of the Fangio system that I would have been genuinely stoked on, because I think it kind of covers its own bases sometimes. If you do screw something up, if you do have a corner that can't hang, you might just be in cover zero and they might have to throw hot anyways. It's really, really good for players to be able to play off, like a Caleb Evans loves to, or like Cam Bynum loves to, and not get killed by a 15-yard route, because they'll often not have time to throw that 15-yard route because you're blitzing six guys. And that will sort of cover up some of that stuff. And then it makes it a little easier for corners to develop because they don't have to be lights out right away. They can play it safe until they start to, until the game starts to slow down. And then as long as they can trigger downhill and make a tackle, which guys like Lewis Seen, Caleb Evans, Andrew Booth are all very, very good at, then you can sort of survive until you're able to process things a little bit more quickly. I think that has a huge effect on what corners the Vikings will be interested in. This is a very, very deep corner class. So this could be a day three, day four guy gets a lot of playing time, or day four, round three, round four guy gets a lot of playing time kind of situation. And if that's the case, then this is, you're going to kind of want them to send a lot of blitzes to just say, okay, you only have to worry about the quick stuff. So play off, keep everything in front of you, and then go rally and tackle when he dumps it off to the check down because he's getting blitzed. If the blitzes get picked up, you're kind of liable to get exposed. This is the risk reward world where we live now. And I'll have a lot more to say about Brian Flores. I'll collect some more Brian Flores mailbag questions. We'll do a Twitter Wednesday mailbag. Doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it? Tomorrow on Locked On Vikings. In the meantime, check out Locked On NFL. We got a couple people at the Super Bowl. So we've got correspondents down there at Radio Row in Glendale. So go check that out. I will see y'all tomorrow. And as always, Skull.